Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Girls Talk with Nicole podcast. My name is Nicole and I am your host. So before I'm going to start with this episode, if you're watching it on a video, you might be wondering, why am I sitting on the ground? Well, the reason for it is because summer has decided to come through to the Netherlands. And the thing is that my apartment gets so hot on sunny days that I can't sit anywhere else than the floor because, you know, it's a little bit colder. So that's the reason. And I kind of thought that maybe this setting is a little bit cute as well. Hopefully you enjoy it. And at the end of the day, I mean, I'm trying to make it slightly aesthetically pleasing, but at the end of the day, I presume that you came here to listen what I have to say this week, not to watch me specifically. I did try to be cute anyways, you know, did some makeup. So I hope that it will do, okay? Another thing that I would like to do before I tell you what we're going to talk about today is to welcome our newbies. So if you're here for the first time and this is the first episode that you're hearing from me, first of all, welcome. Thank you for sticking around for that first minute. And since you're here, let me tell you real quick, what can you expect from this podcast? So basically, during this podcast, we are discussing all kinds of topics that a woman or maybe some men can relate. So we just talk about life and things that cross my mind. And because I'm a thinker and an overthinker, there's a lot that crosses my mind. We're talking about heartbreaks, about being an immigrant, about ADHD. I will tell you about my ACL recovery. Today, we're going to talk about twerking and feminism. The range of topics is very, very wide, but I think the main thing that it has in common is that a lot of people can relate to it. And that is where I'm trying to aim. I'm sharing my stories and my opinions, and I invite some guests to discuss certain topics for you guys to just know that you're not alone in whatever it is that we're discussing, okay? Just relatability. I think that's the keyword when it comes to this podcast. Like I said, I am your host, so you'll be hearing my voice most of the times. I do have some guests sometimes, but you know, if you don't like my voice, I would suggest listen to give me a chance and try to listen a few more minutes, because I know from my own experience that sometimes I would start listening to a podcast and I wouldn't necessarily like the host's accent or voice. But then because the topic was interesting, I continued listening, and at some point I got so hooked in their voice and accent that I started loving it. So who knows? Maybe if you don't like me right now, if you continue listening, you will fall in love. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. Then I'm going to give you some live update, and then we're going to jump back into the topic, because the topic of today is juicy and controversial, you guys. And that is whether twerking and sensual dancing can be feminist. Mm-hmm. So if you follow me for a little while, you probably will recognize that topic, because actually this was the topic of my bachelor thesis, which I have written a few years ago. And when I posted about it, of course, everybody was asking me questions about it. And I did promise that I'm going to make a YouTube video about it. And there we go. I think 2 years later, here you are. Not only are you getting a YouTube video, but you're also getting a whole podcast about it. So I know, you guys, that sometimes I take my sweet time when it comes to fulfilling my promises, but I always come through, okay? And that is what matters. That's what we're going to talk about. I'm going to share with you the results of my thesis, and I'll try to throw here and there some of my personal insights and some updates that I have come across last 2 years. But before that, I want to share with you some life update, and that is PMS and PMDD. Because where do I start? Well, I noticed last few months that I get really, really depressed before my period. As in, I really noticed that my mood goes so low and I hit this really rock bottom, and I found myself in this dark space where it's very difficult to think positively and have energy for anything. And when I started observing my body and how it fluctuates, I noticed that that happens specifically before my period and during the first few days of my period. So then I did a little bit of a research, and I actually am also diagnosed with ADHD. So I already have learned through the research of ADHD that women with ADHD have suffered a lot of times of mood swings, and especially before their period, that reinforces and makes life even more difficult. So you get really, really depressed. As in, maybe depressed is a wrong and too strong word to be used if you're not clinically diagnosed. But the thing is that women with ADHD tend to get very emotional and very anxious and just not well before their period. And of course, women who don't have ADHD might also experience those symptoms, as in they have PMS. But you have also something called PMDD, and that refers to premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And that is a severe form of PMS that includes intense emotional and physical symptoms. And it actually relates also to ADHD and to depression. So basically what I have learned, of course, is just Google research. I haven't been to a doctor about it yet. But basically, long story short, what I have learned is that if you're a woman with ADHD and you're suffering from PMS, you might experience very, very strong mood swings and dysregulation of emotions, especially before your period. And I think I have it. I mean, I don't want to be like self-diagnosed patient, but I really, really, really want to go to a doctor and speak about it, because like I said, it's really scary, you guys, to be very honest with you, how I am feeling before my period, to the extent that sometimes I don't even recognize myself. Like, I'm having such a dark thought sometimes coming through my head that it scares me, you know? And then I do notice that after period just poof, disappears. And sometimes when I'm looking back in my journal, what I was writing, I'm shocked and scared, you know? So yeah, I think it would be actually quite interesting topic to discuss as a main topic of the podcast. Maybe I could invite some expert or somebody who has been experiencing it for a longer period of time and maybe found some ways how to deal with it or how to approach it. So stay tuned. And if you are somebody who has some expertise, or if you know somebody who has some experience, please, please come through and maybe we can talk about it and share some tips with other women who are experiencing it as well. But for now, I just wanted to let you guys know that you're not alone. And if you're experiencing it, please reach out. Okay, so that's a little update when it comes to my life and thoughts. Let's move on to that sweet topic of my thesis. Okay, I feel like talking about it is a little bit tricky and controversial on its own. And I feel like I'm going to be walking on, how to call it, thin ice, because some people might get sensitive, upset. Some people might disagree. And I have some small people-pleasing tendencies where I am not trying to hurt anyone, but then I still want to speak my mind and I want to share with you the results, since a lot of people ask, and I think it's a very interesting and beautiful topic. But few disclaimers coming your way. First of all, just so you know, in case you didn't know yet, it's an academic research, right? It's a bachelor thesis. And the thing about academic research is that a lot of times it has a lot of limitations when it comes to researching the topic and speaking about it. It's not like you can just throw your opinions and be like, well, this is what I have heard and this is what I know and I'm an expert in this field, so this is the fact. No, that doesn't work like that. Everything that you say, you have to back up with an academically approved source. So like an other article, an other research that has been done before yours. Even if you're speaking about obvious things, as in, if I tell you that, I don't know, this apple is red and we all see that it's red, I still cannot put it in my thesis or academic paper without any references. I actually legit have to find academically approved source that says that apples are red, and then I have to reference it, right? That is for people who are maybe not that familiar familiar with academic world. So that is something that I would like you to keep in mind when we're going to be talking about the results. And I can already tell you right now that it made it so much more difficult for me to research it, because as you can imagine, twerking or sensual dancing is not top 10 topic when it comes to academic research. So there was really, really few academically approved papers that I could use. Yeah, that's basically it, that it's something that hasn't been researched that much yet. There has been some research about it, thankfully. And also, obviously, feminism and feminist waves have been researched profoundly. So when it comes to that, I didn't have any issues. But yeah, that was very limiting. And there was a lot of sources that I came across on the internet that were very helpful, but they were not academically approved. Those were just some, I don't know, YouTube videos or some online articles, but not academic ones. So that made it very, very difficult and frustrating, to the extent that I almost wanted to give up and change the topic. But my thesis supervisor was so passionate about that particular topic that I was researching that she did everything in her power to help me out and facilitate this research, which I'm very, very grateful for, because I am very happy that eventually I made it and I passed, and I have learned also a lot. So I'm very happy that she pushed me to do it. But girl, there were moments where I was crying my eyes out because of the frustration. So that's one thing, right? You have to use those academic research papers. And then another thing is that an academic paper and research is not your opinion. You are researching a topic and then you have to write down what your research says. And a lot of times the conclusion or the findings, they might not be exactly aligned with what you are hoping you're going to find. So that's another thing that I really want you to be aware of, that it's not that simple. It's not that simple. Also, I think very important thing to mention is that twerking was actually a small part of my thesis. Actually, the main topic was women using sexuality as means of empowerment. And since next to other feminine forms of dancing, such as pole dance or heels, twerk is very prominent, often seen in media. I use twerking as a main example. And as you learn a little bit later, Beyoncé was my study case. And it all kind of comes together when it comes to feminism, twerking, using your femininity and sensuality as a marketing tool or form of empowerment, but we'll talk about it later. Also, a very important aspect that I really want to add over here is that I am fully aware that twerking, besides being healing for some in terms of connecting with their sensuality and form of empowerment, has been and is a huge part of Black culture. And first and foremost, before it became so popular as it is now, it was actually a cultural dance. And twerking does not always revolve around sensuality or female empowerment per se. It can also be a form of celebration of a cultural and African heritage. However, my thesis, as you will learn later on, is about twerking in a context of feminine dancing, or specifically, like I just said, Beyoncé being one of the hyper feminine pop icon who use their sex appeal as a form of empowerment. Lastly, it is my personal opinion only, you guys, but I think you can actually be a feminist by like default and agree with the main feminist principles, but then you can also have some not exactly feminist behaviors or tendencies at the time, right? I mean, like, it is okay if you continue listening and you realize that what I'm saying puts you actually in non-feminist box, and in that particular context, because let's say you twerk on Instagram in a thong because you want to have a lot of followers and maybe you want to redirect them to some other private paid platforms to monetize on your body, right? Or on your sensual dancing. And I don't think you should be getting upset, because first of all, I am just explaining what I have learned while writing my thesis, and I think it's a very interesting topic, and it's not necessarily always my opinion, right? Like, second of all, a little reminder that I also shake my bands on Instagram, so if I was judging anyone, it would be weird, right? Because I'm on the same boat, and I also had that specific platform that we were talking about. And third of all, like I will explain later, feminism is a movement which evolves and expands with each wave. So what is considered anti-feminist and patriarchal right now, like reinforcing patriarchal standards, who knows, maybe it will be considered empowering and feminist in the future, right? I feel like there was one more disclaimer that I wanted to make, but it kind of slipped my mind, so I guess it will come through as I'm speaking about it. But now let me tell you a little bit about my thesis, and I can already hear you screaming at the screen or at your speakers like, girl, why can't you just give a yes or no answer? It seems like a yes or no question. Is twerking feminist? Well, one would think that it is yes or no question, but it actually is not. But for the very, very impatient ones who are like, I don't want to listen to you for another 13 minutes ranting, let me just give you one sentence and then I'm going to elaborate for another 10 minutes about it, or maybe even longer. So the thing about twerking, right? I mean, I chose twerking, by the way, because it's such a, again, one would say controversial topic, especially in academic world. Oh yeah, I know what I wanted to say. So the reason why I wanted to research it is because, of course, in case you don't know, in case you just found this app, a podcast, I twerk as well, okay? So obviously, I'm not judging these women. I am supporting them personally, right? Because I am one of them. That would be some weird form of self-hate and self-deprecation, or I don't know if it's the right word. But anyways, so the reason why I really wanted to research this topic is because I feel like I am very controversial persona for a lot of people and for society myself, because like I just said, I do twerk, I also do pole dancing, I do heels, I do all kinds of sensual dance styles. I am very much involved in women empowerment and helping women connect with their sensuality and embody their sensuality and reclaim their power. And next to this, I am very smart, and so I went to the university. And like I just told you, at the university, all the other things that I do are controversial and not very day-to-day normal, right? So that's why I really wanted to research this topic, to bring that topic into academic field and also learn some things about myself, right? So that was like my main reason. And I was feeling very happy that, you know, I could graduate with writing about something that was interesting me rather than some topics that would bore me to death. So that is the reason. Now, as I already told you, as I was researching it, I came across a lot of bumps on the road, and I also have learned that it's not that simple, it's not that black and white. And in order to answer this question, one has to really understand what is feminism, that there are different waves of feminists, but the most important thing at the end of the day is the context, okay? So whether twerking can be considered feminist, it really depends on the perspective and the context, like I just said. Some see twerking as an act of self-expression and empowerment, where others view it as an extension of patriarchal objectification and sexualization. Feminist perspectives are diverse, influenced by cultural, social, and individual factors. Okay, so that's like an answer in a nutshell. To simplify it, basically, how I see it, as in how I see the results that I have come across during writing my thesis, is that if you're asking yourself, because only you can know, because the thing is that only you know your actual motives why you're twerking or pole dancing or stripping or whatever. So to put it in very simple context and simple words, if you're wondering if you are a feminist, you have to ask yourself, what is the reason that you're doing whatever it is that you're doing? Let's just stick to twerking to simplify the concept, okay? So if you're twerking because it really gives you this sense of power and connection with your body, are you celebrating the culture or maybe your own cultural heritage, or whether it is reclaiming the power of your sensuality, is that the reason? Is it really for you only? And you know, you might still put it out there on Instagram, that doesn't matter. Or are you doing it because you're seeking for validation from Instagram viewers? You want some likes on Instagram. You're just trying to make money. But actually, the reason why you're twerking is not to reclaim that power and take ownership of your sensuality. Because if you are doing it only for money, and if you are doing it to gain male gaze mainly and get money from men, then that is not feminism, because again, you objectify yourself and you reinforce the patriarchal norms of society. So at the end of the day, only you know what are your motives, and then you have to answer it very honestly at the comfort of your house by yourself, and then you get an answer whether you can be considered a feminist. You know what I mean? So that's something that I have learned through my research big time. But now I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it. And I'm going to tell you about the thesis specifically. So like I told you, I think already, my study research, my study case was Beyoncé, because she is very controversial, or maybe she was, because that was the things that I was researching, the sources were a few years ago, they were from a few years ago, but basically she's been seen as quite controversial persona because, you know, she is a very outspoken lady, she's dancing very sexy, like she's twerking as well, she's very successful. She's married to a rich man. That's very important as well. She made some songs about if you like it, put a ring on it stuff. So again, she made some songs that do reinforce patriarchal norms of society. But at the same time, she made some songs which are reinforcing women being independent and women being empowered. So it's a little bit, it was a little bit double. And she got a lot of criticism, but of course also a lot of support. So it was always like that, that there were some people who were supporting it and who were against it. But then there was a moment when big feminist icons and very prominent people in feminist movement actually criticized Beyoncé of giving a false image of feminism to her fans and to younger generation. And this is how the discussion kind of snowballed and more people started discussing it. Hence, I found some sources to base my thesis on. So it's not maybe not very interesting for you guys, but my methodology was discourse analysis. Since I started communication, I had to use one of the methodology that we are familiar with, and so I decided to choose discourse. And since the thing that I was researching were comments on YouTube video discussing feminists and Beyoncé. Okay, my findings were split into, so there were two main perspectives of female icons using sexuality as an empowerment, because that was a subtopic of my thesis. So the big topic was whether twerking is feminist, but then I kind of had to break it down into focusing whether female icons who use their sexuality as means of empowerment are represented on social media as feminists or not. And like I already told you, my main case was Beyoncé. So in my findings, I found out that there are two main perspectives on female icons using sexuality for empowerment. And that was one negative view, of course, another one was positive. And the negative view has shown that some see these icons as hypocritical, promoting a diluted form of feminism that aligns with capitalist and patriarchal values. However, from the positive perspective, one could say that others see them as modern feminists who reclaim their bodies and sexuality, challenging the patriarchal norms. So as you see, it is never black and white, and there is always arguments against and arguments for the fact that twerking can be feminist or not. So since I have been talking already for over 20 minutes, let me just try to cut it short, even though the thesis was like 15,000 words. But another thing that I also wanted to mention, and I think it's important for this podcast specifically and this topic, is that a lot of people have a lot to say about that specific topic without researching what is actually feminism, and also without realizing that feminism is a concept that keeps on evolving. It's a movement. So there are, you know, multiple waves of feminism, and what feminism was standing for 50 years ago is not very much accurate now. However, one thing that is very, very much prominent in feminism, and it would like simplify it very much for people who have simple minds, is that feminism movement supports women having right to choose to do whatever that is they want to do. Yes? So, for instance, women who prefer to stay home and take care of their children and who want to be supported by their husbands still can be considered feminist if that's their choice, if that really is coming from their own mind and their choices. And one could say that that can also be the same when it comes to twerking and being a feminist. If you are really choosing this form of dancing and you're doing it for your own entertainment, for your own empowerment, for cultural celebration, and you would do it, I think what really simplifies it and makes answer to this question very easy is whether you would do it for free. Well, because if the answer is yes, then clearly that is very much your choice, not influenced by any external factors. And then it's aligned with the principles of feminism. voila, you have the simplest answer I could come up with. I feel kind of proud of this sentence. I think that would be it. I'm gonna post it on Instagram. But once the external factors are involved, like attention and validation on social media, money, it becomes more complicated, because then you're choosing to objectify yourself, whether it is through taking your clothes off or twerking in very explicit clothing with very specific angles of your camera. Then it becomes a little bit controversial and not that simple. Because again, then you are objectifying yourself for the sake of male gaze and attention and their money. And one could say, like, yes, but I'm still taking ownership of my money to monetize it. Yes, that's fine. And just a little disclaimer once more, like, I'm not criticizing anyone, because who am I to judge? I had OnlyFans myself, you know? So don't feel like I'm trying to look at you from a higher horse, like I'm on the same boat, okay? But I'm just saying what I've learned on during my research from academic point of view, okay? So yeah, then it becomes tricky, you know? And I think that is also a very important thing to keep in mind, especially when you're somebody who has big impact on younger generation of women, because that is something that makes me slightly scared and worried, that I see a lot of younger girls who call themselves feminists, they put it in their Instagram bio, but you can see that they're actually very vulnerable, very insecure, and they are twerking or pole dancing, again, in very, very explicit clothing, filming themselves from very specific angle and putting it on Instagram. And again, I don't know what's in their mind, but if you call yourself feminist, you really have to answer yourself a question whether you are doing these things because that empowers you and gives you ownership of your own body, or you're doing it because you want male gaze and attention for the sake of validation. And I think that is a little bit dangerous area, because not only are you sending a wrong message, but you're also putting yourself in a very vulnerable position. But maybe that's a topic to discuss other time. Anyways, to sum it up, let me just give you some bullet points so you can have it kind of organized in your head, because maybe I was ranting a little bit too long with too many side stories, and I really would like to make my point, because again, I think this topic is very important for me. So let me sum it up for you. I'm gonna read my notes to make sense. So in summary, my thesis presents Beyoncé as a complex figure who is interpreted differently depending on one's perspective on feminism and empowerment. So my thesis doesn't definitely label Beyoncé as either feminist or not. Instead, it highlights the ongoing debate and controversy surrounding her as a figure in popular culture. Beyoncé embodies a new type of feminist who does not fit traditional stereotypes, which sparks diverse opinion on her role in the feminist movement. And when it comes to twerking as a feminist, there are arguments supporting twerking as feminist and arguments opposing twerking as feminism. So the arguments opposing twerking as feminist would be sexualization and objectification, which refers to negative view on sexualization. Some feminists may see twerking as self-objectification, conforming to patriarchal structures that sexualize women's bodies for male pleasure. Another thing is the media influence, because twerking often appears in media promoting male pleasure and commercial exploitation, and it can be seen as problematic. Last but not least, the concept of ambiguity of empowerment and real versus false empowerment. That one is really important actually for me. So there's this debate on whether it truly represents the twerking and being feminist, whether it truly represents empowerment if done within existing patriarchal structures without changing the power dynamics, okay? So those are the arguments opposing twerking as feminist, and here are the ones that are supporting it. So the first one is self-expression and autonomy. Here comes the concept of feminine for self-expression, and the fact that some people view twerking as form of self-expression where women make their own choices about their bodies, representing empowerment and autonomy. Also, It emphasizes women's control over their own bodies and their own sexuality. Another thing is challenging the social norms, where women rebel against those norms, and it can be seen as a fact of rebellion against conservative views and social norms that aim to dictate what women should and should not do. And also, yet again, very importantly, twerking is a form of cultural celebration, which again can be seen as a celebration of female and their culture outside of the sexualization of the dance and the patriarchal concept. Yo, I really have to learn how to pronounce this word properly. Patriarchal. Very difficult and useless word. And I also just remembered, I spoke about it with another girl from my university who researched not twerking specifically, but just black culture. And she also told me that when it comes to Beyoncé specifically, there's also this concept of cultural appreciation and recognition of Afro-American culture. Because of course, Beyoncé is a huge role model for women in general when it comes to multidimensionality and being successful, powerful, and dancing sexy. But next to this, she is a huge role model for black women because she's also a black woman, and she shows younger generation of black women that you can look like the way you look like her, and you can be successful and empowered. And also what Beyoncé is actually doing right now as well a lot is representing the culture, right? So when Beyoncé is twerking, she is actually acknowledging and showing the appreciation to her culture, right? To the black culture, because obviously twerking comes from black culture. That is also a very important aspect when it comes to Beyoncé twerking and empowerment. And another thing is that, like I just told you, obviously feminism is a movement, right? So feminism is not the same right now as it was 50 years ago. And one thing that has changed, for instance, is inclusion of black women. Because the first wave of feminism wasn't really that inclusive when it comes to colored women. So that also conforms to the fact that somebody like Beyoncé is a very, very important role model who influences the new waves of feminism as a multidimensional woman, but also as a black woman. So I think I have said enough. I hope that it gives you some food for thought. I'm trying to think, like, how can I wrap it up, to be very honest. I feel like I got no words, but all in all, to be very honest, you guys, it was very, very interesting topic to be researching. I have learned really a lot about feminism and about how it works in academic world when it comes to research. And there were some things that I wouldn't necessarily agree with, but there were also things which kind of opened my eyes for certain concepts, and also who started some discussions with my friends, very interesting ones. Definitely interesting topic. Let me know what you think. Let me know what your thoughts. Let me know what you learned. Do you think, after me talking about it for half an hour, do you think then that twerking is feminist or not? I don't know, you guys, if I actually said that. Oh no. But I actually, originally, I wanted to research whether a stripper can be feminist. But when I kind of pre-researched the academic library, I was like, okay, there's no way I can find enough valuable resources to back this research up and to, you know, find some literature about it. And I was really bummed about it because I feel like that would be even closer to my heart to research. But yet again, twerking was also very, very interesting. And again, learning about how Beyoncé is placed in this concept of feminism was also very interesting. I'm going to close it off here. Please excuse me. Don't forget to give me 5 stars on my Spotify podcast. And I just realized actually that you can also write like a little review on Apple Podcasts. So if you're listening to me on Apple Podcasts, excuse me, can you please give me a little review? So yeah, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for listening. To close it off, let's take a deep breath in and out. And actually, I want to give you some homework. I want you to, when you finish to listening to this podcast, okay, I want you to grab your phone and I want you to write down 3 things that you really, really love about yourself. And it can be physical, but it can be also be something about your personality. Because we're going to start a movement. We're going to start a self-love movement. And I'm going to bombard you with those kind of assignments every single week. Yes, and that would be 1. So please be nice to yourself. Take a moment to do some breathing. Maybe, I don't know, go to a park for a walk. sit down and write down three things that you truly love about yourself and ask your friend to do the same. Let's start a little bit of a self-movement. Okay, I'm gonna let you go. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day, and I'll speak to you next time.